SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, why didn't I bet that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Player went to 70 on the board last night. It's a big man with maybe the most complete offensive game we've ever seen, Kevin, from any position in the NBA. A big man that fluid, that can hit jumpers and dominate and do whatever he wants, who's averaging 40 a game since December the 1st? My God, Joel Embiid.
Let me say how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion. He's obviously out of this world. But that's just how outrageous the talent level is right now. By the way, remember, Donnie, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the big man was dead in the NBA?
Yes, correct.
It is remarkable. I tweeted about it. And it's one of those bets where you feel like the smartest man alive. Joel Embiid, Donnie, first quarter points over. The number was 11.5. Yep. It's 24 points in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he is. And I saw, you know how every single historical scoring thing is, man, this is the most points ever. Well, except for Wilt, but that doesn't count. He is now averaging the most points per game on a per 36-minute basis in a single season. Now, I know that for some people that might sound convoluted, but that is basically points per minute. Joel Embiid is having more success than Wilt, Bleep, and Chamberlain. It is outrageous what this guy is doing right now.
Yeah, it's pretty tremendous. And I watched a little bit of the first quarter yesterday, just tuning in. I'm like, Embiid scores 30 a night. It's what he does. And I woke up in the morning and just was like scrolling through the timeline and saw he scored 70 points. And it wasn't like, hey, a cherry pick and do like 18 boards along with it, 5 assists. I mean, he's outrageous. And again, it wasn't double overtime where he played every single minute. Playing in the mid-30s there, it's absolutely insane what he's doing here. And the Sixers record reflects it here. One of the best in the NBA. But we also had a trade come down today, which here's what I love about the Charlotte Hornets. It's one of the few franchises that you say to yourself, okay, like when I was a kid, they were pretty cool. Like Larry Johnson was on that team, Alonzo Mourning, Muggsy Bogues, I think, was there for a while. The cool color scheme, the new team's like, oh, this could be a fun team. And also, in a basketball hotbed of the Carolinas, that organization has sucked, Kevin, for like 40 straight years. How is that possible? How is it possible? They are never a title contender. They're barely even a sniff of the playoffs for the first 3 weeks of the season. Then they fall off the cliff every single year. So at least they're get LaMelo Ball out of it. Get the entire organization gone and restart again. What are they waiting for?
Well, I mean, they were waiting for the guy that was, cosplaying as GM to get out of there, and he finally is, and Michael Jordan. I mean, MJ was awful at this. He was absolutely atrocious. And this is not some LeBron versus Jordan thing, because I'll tell you this right now. When LeBron inevitably owns the Vegas franchise, if you ever want to be a fan of that team, you better hope like hell LeBron doesn't make all the decisions. Because LeBron's an awful GM relative to trying to evaluate talent. Remember the whole joke that they drafted, what was it, Shabazz Napier, Donnie, when he was in Miami in like the end of the first round, because LeBron said he was amazing. Yes. And it was one of those things where if you follow the draft, you know that Shabazz Napier is an awesome college player, but this is not some guy you're supposed to try and think, oh, this is the future, future all-star or anything like that. But that's the thing, that Michael being in charge for as long, remember when they almost didn't take LaMelo Ball at 3 because people thought that he was going to be too angry about LaVar Ball? I mean, luckily they got that one through the door before he could mess that whole thing up.
Like, just going through, like, some of the things, and they get that Jordan, like, the worst NBA team ever created, that 7-59 team in 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those franchises that's just been so horribly run every single year, it feels like. At least they're finally doing something to turn that down, or, you know, just finally start over, at least keep one or two guys. Like, you know what? We'll tank. Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again, if it works out in your favor. But the Miami Heat do get a little bit stronger. They were missing out on, hey, we wanted Damian Lillard, didn't get him. Now you got a player there that can, you know, help you at guard play, get some scoring going. So I don't mind the move here for the Miami Heat. I also don't mind the move for Charlotte, because they just stink all the time, and you got to change it up sooner than later.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to hold on to a Terry Rozier. If you're Miami, it's one of those things where you like the player, but to your point, Donnie, this was a team that was supposed to be, they could have had Bradley Beal, got greedy, said, no, we're going to get Dame, and now they're getting Terry Rozier. And Terry Rozier is a nice player. He'll never make an all-star team in this league. And those other guys are perennial all-stars. So for Miami, it is a consolation prize. But here's the reality when it comes to the Miami Heat with stuff like this, Donnie. You know, they drafted Jaime Jaquez. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that I trust when it comes to evaluating the draft went, oof, that's a bad pick. But if you're smart and you go, But Donnie, this is the thing. The second Miami drafts him, you go, well, never mind. Now it's a great pick because this is the Miami Heat. Dude, it doesn't matter what you thought about. Because, Donnie, if Jaime Jaquez would have landed in Washington, he'd be playing in the G League right now. Like, that's truly my belief. But he landed with Miami, and he's literally the second best player from that draft class and is going to be first all-NBA rookie. I mean, it's ridiculous because this is what the Heat do. So the world or Terry Rozier wins him a playoff game? Yeah, you bet your ass Terry Rozier is going to win him a playoff game.
Filling in, pal. We got to set the table here for some NFL action as well, but I thought we had some nice things to talk about in the NBA as things start to heat up on the hardwood, but also I like this report that came out here too. We'll get to the Eagles finally dumping both coordinators and who they're going to go with next. The Eagles front office and head coach Nick Sirianni meet with the media tomorrow. And I expect to have at least one or two coordinators in place here by the time that meeting happens. Or do the Eagles, you know, say, we'll do like last year, we'll wait, and we'll just get these randos here when all these hot coaches are out in the commodities. But also, we'll talk about the head coaching positions. But I wanted to set this one up. Stephon Diggs says this year he's not going to ask for a trade and he's committed to the team. Seeing a little bit of different tone from Lee. I wonder what the difference is. when you dominate on the football field, you can yell and scream and we beg you to come back. But the minute you suck for 3 months, it's like, hey, man, I love it here. I love my contract. Love my teammates.
The second that they're like, wow, I guess we actually need to move on from Stephon, the it's not worth it anymore. He's like, listen, I've always wanted to be a Buffalo Bill, and I think Josh Allen is the best player in the league. Like, oh, really? That's interesting.
But you know what? Not only am I going to be in camp, I'm going to be in OTAs. Like, I'm not even going to leave. Like, right. Usually I'm like, I'm going to go train in Vegas or Miami. I'm going to train in Buffalo year-round here because of my commitment to the greater Buffalo area. But it's interesting that he comes with that, where last year we couldn't even figure it out. It's like, let me get this straight. His quarterback throws in the football every play. He has a ton of touchdowns, a ton of yards, but he just doesn't want to be in Buffalo. And this year he stinks, and it's like, you know what? Man, Buffalo's always been my heart. I never, ever want to leave here. We'll set up again and take a fresh look here at this weekend's games, AFC and NFC Championship, and also the coaching carousel. What is going on here? We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, having some fun on a Tuesday afternoon, setting the table for this week. Before we get to the games again, because there is some line movement here, I am enjoying the weather conditions in both games, Kevin. One 70 degrees at kickoff, the other about 47 or 48 degrees. So looks like we're going to be pretty clean here. And just to let you know what that's keeping you involved. Me, I'm not the guy that just says, you know what, I bet things, and if they come in, it's awesome. If not, it wasn't meant to be. I already put Kevin $112 down, which was the juice on the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. I actually did not go money line, which was +155. And you might say to yourself, well, hold on. Like, just looking to cover my ticket. If the Chiefs win, let's just say outright, which again, that's what they would have to do, I would get +$55 on my original investment. So I said to myself, you know what? I think this is legitimate here. Let me take the Chiefs getting 3.5 and pay the -112 on that price and watch this game go 23-20 and be like, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Because there is an opportunity, as we know, that the Chiefs can win the game, yes, but I'm rooting for the Ravens to blow the doors off the Chiefs, but who blows the doors off the Chiefs, Kevin? You know, like in the fourth quarter, let's just, Ravens are up 10. Ah, this game's over. Is it? 4 minutes ago. Is it over? Nope. You know that. So I was like, you know what? Let me not even go money line. Let me just try to sort of middle this, win this game, and move on. That's what my thought process was.
I like that decision. You know, I made a similar one on a, you know, my Houston Texans future, Donnie. And, you know, look, it didn't come in. People said, oh, you're too greedy. But it was something along the lines of like Jaguars +4.5, something like that, when they were playing against Tennessee. Because I thought I could truly hit both. And, okay, so what? I, you know, cut into my profit some. And it is what it is. That doesn't bother me because, you know, for you here, and I ended up cutting into the profit margin significantly more than you are, but
yeah,
I mean, Donnie, like the world where, and it's funny because this kind of goes against your usual, you know, thought process on these numbers, but some of it has to be Mahomes, some of it has to be the playoffs. 100% the Ravens can win that game and you can win that bet. Not an absolute doubt in the world.
Exactly, and I'm not taking ripping chunks off because sometimes it's about, like, you're not at the end of the line yet. So I'm like, all right, like, if they lose, I'm going to be disappointed because it would have been a $1,900 payout. You know, getting back my $100 ticket is not going to make me excited. Like, oh, that was a good move. No, I'll be very upset because I actually expect the Ravens to really put on a show this weekend. I think they're the better team. They're at home, and I do think they win that football game. But then again, even in the Super Bowl, if you say, Don, we already saw the tapes here. 49ers, Ravens, if that's what the Super Bowl is going to be, just let it rip because they might hammer them again. I'm like, no. Like, I'm taking at least $500 and putting it down on the 49ers, which is a perfect hedge opportunity because they're -110 now at most outlets in the Super Bowl if they play the Ravens. Just the way it is. I'm not sweating it out, being like, hey, man, it was awesome. I could have won $1,900, but I won nothing. No, I'm at least coming away with $500 on that initial investment. So just wanted to keep the people updated there on exactly what I did in that scenario. But let's talk coaches here, Kevin. First of all, what's going on with Bill Belichick and the Atlanta Falcons? They're interviewing 75 people every single day with second interviews, which include Aaron Glenn. Like, there must be, there has to be a distance. There's no way it's like, hey, Bill, just take some time. We're going to do this because it looks good to our fan base. No. Like, actually, we heard the reports, Kevin, midway through the season. Hey, by the way, I already have a team picked out, and it's basically a done deal. When the season ends, Belichick's going to be somewhere. And when Belichick was let go from New England, where they were like, hey, you know, we just figured it was free to get him loose. Did New England know at that time? Like, by the way, nobody really wants Bill. What, are we going to hold on to him for 4 weeks, miss all the coaches, and nobody wants to trade for him? Something's off here. I thought he would have got a job right away, to be honest.
I don't know. It's a little odd to me. The initial reporting made it seem like, oh, wow, look, this is really picking up steam, Bill in Atlanta.
Yes.
But then you look at it. But Donnie, the thing is, nobody's hiring anyone yet. Like,
no,
this is a very...
it's like baseball.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Yes, exactly. Right? Like, we finally, you know... And it's very funny, but if you look through it, like, what jobs have been settled? Patriot succession plan. Raiders removed the interim tag. And then the worst available job...
Yes.
...ended up making their move. Because that's exactly what that is. And everybody agrees that Titans job is the worst job on the market.
Yes.
So, that's just one of those things where I get what you're saying, but I don't think I can overreact too much, Donnie, until, oh, there goes the Charger job. Ooh, there goes this job. There, you know what I mean? Like, there's just more that has to be seen, I still think.
What I'm assuming here in this spot, too, is, to be honest, there might be some teams real hot on Matt Nagy. There might be some teams real hot on Mike McDonald. Obviously, Ben Johnson is still in that Final Four. And then who knows out of that Shanahan tree that might be there, which really intrigues me because you would have thought that, like, when Vrabel's out there, Vrabel's one of those coaches that if you hire in 5 years, when he say it didn't work out, it just means that it went a Super Bowl. They're a good football team, made the playoffs 3 of the 5 years, but we're looking to get better, and that just didn't work out. Same thing with like Bill Belichick. I think if you hire him, you have a competent franchise. As long as he just doesn't run amok and tell you what quarterback he needs and all this good stuff, I think it would work out. Jim Harbaugh one also, very interesting to me, where he's, and there's a lot of jokes there, because I saw he was like, you know, because usually Jim Harbaugh is going to come there and be like, I really want to run the show, I'm like, but I want my people in there. So the dawn of Ponte thing from the NFL front office interviewing as their GM, like I sort of got a good laugh at that. It's almost like, man, Harbaugh playing chess right now when everybody's playing checkers. He'll be like, watch this. I'm going to get this girl in the front office from the NFL front office. I'm going to ask her, look, if I do these things, what's the NFL look at like behind the scenes? Like if I hold practices I'm not supposed to, you tell me what's the worst case scenario, because I really think that probably goes into it. It's like, look, she's sharp and all that, but I think I got an in, and if it is bad, I think she could pick up the bat phone behind the scene and say, hey, look, just give him the one game here. Don't give him the three games. Give him the $100,000 fine, not the $300,000 fine. Go to code 46-2. That's the one you'll use for here. Jim Harbaugh, click, hang up the phone, and it works out in his favor. But I don't know why these big-name coaches actually haven't been moved yet.
So that's the thing. The Harbaugh one feels the most puzzling, just because I feel like him, like when he gets announced as the Chargers head coach, I'm like, of course he's the Chargers head coach. Right? Like, I don't really understand why we haven't finalized that one. But, you know, you mentioned a name there, Donnie, in Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator. Like, oh, man, they're, you know, it's probably, you know, team's really hot. Who? And I'm not saying Mike McDonald is the classic case of, we watch the playoffs, we go, my gosh, every team should be clawing over each other to hire this guy. And then next year when we're watching the Ravens with the best defense in the league, we go, why the hell did no one hire Mike McDonald? Like, remember when Lou Anarumo, the Bengals DC, was going to get a job year after year? And Cincinnati stinks. Never mind. We're not hiring a defensive coordinator. Like, I just feel like Mike McDonald is actually going to end up going to become like the head coach of Ohio State football or something before this guy gets an NFL job.
Exactly. It's like you have to, if you're a defensive coordinator, you have to like absolutely strike while the iron is the hottest to get that job. Because if you wait, but I know there's offensive coordinators out here that we like better. Like when a team shows interest, like you got to sell out and get that job. Same thing with Dan Quinn. Like, hey, Dan's one of the best defensive coordinators in football. We'll get him back for a second interview, and then Jerry goes, hey, look, what's it going to take? An extra $500,000 on your contract? Just come back. You have no pressure here. You know the defense. I'm never going to fire you. And it feels like that's the way it gets run around. But I'm just waiting to see when that next shoe drops here. But I do get a kick out of like Atlanta's like, hey, look, Bill Belichick, second interview, like right off the bat, like, look, just make it a formality. Let's move on. You got your guy. And now it's like every day, it's like three different people in for like a face-to-face meeting. And guys like, so Bill Belichick sitting on the sideline going, let me get this straight. You interviewed Aaron Glenn second time. Like, do you want me to sit in with Aaron Glenn and we'll just like write on the chalkboard like what we're actually going to do with this football team? Like, what's the breakdown there?
Well, I let me tell you something. Aaron Glenn has been consistently in jobs now for 2 years, despite like for 2 years in a row the Lions defense being pretty bad. And there have even been moments where people are like, do you think the Lions are gonna have to fire their defensive coordinator? Like, I do not understand the Aaron Glenn interviews much at all.
Now, by the way, we get to the Philadelphia Eagles here. Both coordinator spots open. In a fan's perfect world, which I'm going to put my fan hat on, it would be Wink Martindale and it would be Eric Bieniemy, who's not going to be a head coach, and he's not going to be the offensive coordinator again in Washington under a new head coach. It's just, that's not the way the world works. He would be on the move. But then I say to myself, like, does Sirianni like have a position like down the hall where it's like, just stay out of these two guys' way? You're just a de facto head coach. I could see the Eagles just going with those, hey, this guy's up and coming, because Nick Sirianni would be able to control him. What's Nick Sirianni going to tell him? Like, hey, go for this, Eric. He's like, I'd rather punt, or I need to go for this. Keep the quarterback out there. Oh my gosh. The mayhem that would absolutely ensue. Let's take a look at these NFC-AFC championship games next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Kevin, did you know 50 million people tuned in for Kansas City and Buffalo, man? It doesn't get any better than a big football game that you get excited for every single week. An NFC Championship, AFC Championship weekend, it is going to deliver that as well. That early game is going to be so much fun to watch. And then you have the 49ers and the Detroit Lions, and I feel like the Detroit Lions are that upstart that generally people will root for, and that's why they'll tune in. But hear me out on this. I don't know about Detroit in the Super Bowl, though, Kevin, where people get hyped for that. Is that, am I wrong on that?
Yeah.
Like, the Niners need to be there as, like, a heavyweight champion to take on whoever's on the other side. We don't need that.
Because you got to remember, Don, if the Lions beat the Niners, right?
Yes.
You then look at it as, oh, my God, this team's amazing. They have all the storylines in the world. Dan Campbell's the most charismatic guy going in this league. So, and the Lions fan base, I mean, the way that they kind of come out in droves. No, you have nothing. There is no San Diego State from last year's, Final Four, right? That doesn't exist here in this situation.
Like, what was maybe the lowest hype Super Bowl the past couple years? Was it the one we did out in L.A.? Like Rams, Bengals. I got to feel like that. Again, we're going to enjoy it either way because it's fun. But I just feel like those that, like, when you have a matchup that can be outrageous and you don't get it. Now, granted, we'll still enjoy it, handicap it. Detroit is very fun to bet on. Their secondary stinks and their offense is electric. That's what we want. But just from a national standpoint, like Lamar Jackson in the Super Bowl will be a lightning rod. Patrick Mahomes being back would piss me off, but still be like, hey, it's Mahomes and Andy Reid. You're getting the best. And again, if it's the 49ers against either, Kevin, the Ravens or the Chiefs, that is an awesome breakdown. And I sound like I'm slandering Detroit when I'm really not, but I'm just looking from like the totality level of surefire superstar power that you can get at one time.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I get what you're saying of everything the Niners bring to the table here, but we're set up in a good way. Do you think, I mean, I'm trying to like go through it quickly in my head. I mean, Burrow being there felt like a big deal. People were excited about Matthew Stafford and everything that kind of came with the LA Rams. McVay's obviously been a supernova. You feel like that was low level heading in energy-wise?
I do. I feel like that was a little bit where we didn't really know what to expect because, quite frankly, the Bengals came on a lot faster than we thought they would, so we couldn't see it from like a mile away. I just feel like that one was a little bit different. That was a great Super Bowl, one of the best finishes you're ever going to see, so obviously it wasn't disappointing there. Let's get to the phone lines here. Got a couple people waiting. Don't want to disappoint any longer. 844-843-6879. Andrew from Virginia, get in here and talk to us. It's Donnie and Kevin. What's up?
What's up, guys? Good afternoon. I placed a bet before the Niners-Packers game for the 49ers to win the NFC at minus 130. So now they're like a minus 300 or whatever. So then yesterday I was looking at lines and I looked at the Detroit Niners game. And Detroit's getting 7 points, and that's a lot. So I said, you know what? Let me buy the hook. I took Detroit plus 7.5. Minus 135. So now I have a great middle opportunity. And when I think about the game, I don't see Detroit getting blown out. They're in every game. I mean, what, one game they weren't in was the Ravens game this year. They've come too far to lose by 2 touchdowns or even maybe 10 points. I think I could get a backdoor cover or they even win outright. What do you think?
I never knocked that. I mean, that's a nice window to have. And also, you are catching the advantage of just 70 degrees, no rain, and 2-mile-an-hour winds. Now, I'll let Kevin answer this next. There is a chance that Detroit gets the brakes beat off them because the 49ers have a tendency to front run, and if they do, they can take control. But I'm not looking at this game this way, to be honest. Like, I would be surprised at this point if Detroit does get blown out, but there's still that capability. But 7.5 as a middle, that's really nice.
But, and again, this is what I would say the difference is with that decision, right, Donnie? Is that isn't a hedge. It's a middle because you're minus 130 correct. Both sides. So if Detroit wins outright, that's a losing situation. If you ultimately get the, Niners route big, it's a losing situation. But it's, let's just assume he risked 130, Donnie, mm-hmm. both sides of the coin. It's yes. not that bad of a losing no. situation, right? He would lose $30 as a max, right? Mm-hmm. That's his max loss, and his max gain is 200. That's nice. Yeah. That's a very nice situation to be in.
Yep, sort of a little bit of the scenario that I have there with that Kansas City game, and it's the fight by saying to yourself, which way would you rather have it, right? And by the way, checking the FanDuel just switched to a -115 on the Baltimore Ravens. Let me ask you this question, because we'll get into where these lines sit right now. It's 3.5 across the board for Baltimore. There were some threes at -120s yesterday. They're all completely gone. Now, I always like to separate myself from the equation because, a lot of people could say, you're just rooting with your... I generally don't do that. If I was rooting with my heart, I'd be like, I'm not taking Kansas City. I love Baltimore. I just want to cheer them on. Like, no, I'm about making a profit here. But I got to tell you, this is one of the few times that it's like, okay, it's Patrick Mahomes, I ask everybody this question who comes on the early line, too. Is the bet just, it's Mahomes, it's Kansas City, I'll take the 3.5. I don't care who they play as long as Mahomes is out there. But I genuinely feel, and I think you brought this up last week, and it was a very viable way of thinking, Baltimore matches up extremely well with this football team. Because hear me out on this. Mm-hmm. They have a very good pass rush. I believe this is the most sacks they've had in like 20 years. So Baltimore can get after the quarterback and doesn't need to necessarily blitz. But that is a strong front seven. So let's just say Pacheco isn't 15 for 70. He's 15 for 38. Where are the big plays coming mm-hmm. from?
Oh, they need Pacheco to have a big day.
Yeah.
This is, I'm not... Like, Pacheco very much is live to actually snag. Like, if they win this game and, like, a Super Bowl MVP off of Mahomes, which just the way this season is gone, Donnie, which has been really, mm-hmm. really interesting for Kansas City. He is far more important than we've come accustomed to in terms of the run game with this Chiefs. They're going to need Pacheco to have a big game. It's why early for me, I'm actually looking more under than over in this football game there. If this game goes over, I think that means Baltimore went absolutely wild on the offensive side. And I almost feel like that wasn't even really their design last week as much as just Houston was so pathetic, it was the end result, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it is, and I'm feeling like I'm very comfortable. Like sometimes, like, oh man, it'd be so nice. Like even when you're watching, let's just say my UConn ticket last year, 25-1 at the start of the tournament, they were winning games. And I remember being in Atlantic City. I was going to a concert the first day March Madness began, or maybe the second day when Iona was playing UConn. I'm like, oh, Iona's got the lead in the first half. UConn, this is my ticket. I'm trying to root for here. Little do we know that they would turn the gas pedal in the second half and never look back the rest of the tournament, it felt like, and they were away. But it's still one game. Like, things can happen and change. It's like, oh, I hope. But I feel real confident in Baltimore moving on from Kansas City. I just do. And I know, Kansas City beat Miami, injured defense. Beat Buffalo, injured defense. This is not an injured defense. You're taking off for Buffalo, and you're on the road. So I don't want to say, they're not playing. No, Baltimore is playing as good as you can play. They didn't hide. It wasn't, we talked about the Dolphins. Like, hey, man, the offense is so awesome. Be like, well, they don't beat anybody. They just beat up on bad football teams. And when they get in the upper echelon, they can't handle it. We've seen Kansas City on the road not perform all that well, but again, they played well enough to win against Buffalo and did, but you're getting a different animal. You're getting as good a quarterback as Josh Allen is for the Buffalo Bills on the Ravens side, and you're getting a much better football team around them.
You got to think of it as well, I feel, Donnie, somewhat like this, right? Oh man, we've never had Mahomes +3.5. Right? Mm-hmm. For a reason.
Picking it out of a hat.
We were live when they popped up the very, very first Buffalo Kansas City line, right? And they went -3, -2.5, never mm-hmm. moved it again, right?
Yeah.
Because I think the books, the Bills are a field goal better than this football team. But people went, nope, 3-3, 3-3, 3-3. The books aren't all that excited, right, to offer you the biggest number you've ever seen on Patrick Mahomes. But this number, Donnie, probably in their heart should actually be bigger than 3.5. Probably should be 5, 5.5, right? In that little dead no man's land. But again, how many Baltimore bets are you getting if that's the number, right?
Yeah.
So I bet you that the primary Baltimore bets are people who've laid a lot of juice on -3. So, we'll see how, or not a lot of juice, but more juice than kind of the typical wager. This is just such an interesting spot, but I'm looking at the Ravens as, again, this is their chance, man. And for Lamar, too, you know, look, there was obviously that period of time where the knock was, hey, can he really do it in the playoffs? But it was always a little overblown, in my opinion. What really became a more legitimate knock was staying healthy. But, Donnie, you could argue that health has robbed this Ravens, you know, era of more than anything else that's gotten in their way. Finally healthy at the right time and the number one seed.
And again, just dipping in, because they have all the props out already, which I love about big games. They're trying to get as many bets as they can in, so get them out. Yeah. Each team, one rushing and one receiving this weekend, is a plus 320 price in Baltimore. I think that's a pretty solid number there. The question would be is if Pacheco can get an anytime touchdown, is probably where you would be landing on that at that point here. But if we're looking at some of the, like the 44.5, I haven't really settled in on the total. If I had my, you know, druthers on it, I probably would just generally say over 44.5, because we're not really worried about weather conditions. We're not worried about a rainy, cold football. And you got two elite court. I don't care what the offensive, you know, oh, it's a Rasheed Rice and it's Zay Flowers you got to lean on. I really don't care about that. When you have two quarterbacks that can operate like they can, that's not a lot of points to get to. And you're basically always in that football game. Passing yards in this one, 210 for Lamar, man. Just the disrespect he gets. He's like Justin Fields level type stuff. We'll hit that 210 here. It's just a matter of if Mahomes gets that 246.5. We'll be right back on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rocking and rolling here, going over the NFC and AFC championship. It's great stuff, man. It's a great weekend. You know, you sort of get that ramp up. You hit a football Friday, but you have that dead time on a Saturday, which we're so used to. And what a treat the NFL regular season is, no doubt about it. But we really get that where the NFL is like, you know what, let's maximize late in the season. The Saturday games in December, obviously Sundays, you got Monday night football games, you got playoff Monday night football games, and then you're going to have, you know, playoff weekends where it's Saturdays and Sundays. Now it's just down the Sunday, so you know this end of the season is here, but this is what we wait on. For big moments like this, you watch some of these futures come in, and you have the entire week to basically stare at two games, and then you have 2 weeks to stare at one football game, which always the fun is, while we're out there in Vegas and, you know, going back and forth, it's like, you see that half-point movement here? Yo, by the way, I woke up this morning, couldn't even believe Kelsey went from plus 115 to plus 120 for an anytime touchdown. Let's talk about that, because it really does come to a standstill. But these two games are going to be fantastic. Just doing that quick preview of game number two, which is a seven-point number this weekend. Up from, there were sixes out there, some six and a half, now sevens. I need to see where Debo comes into this game. And I do actually think, Kevin, the line is correct at seven. Because the chances, like, Detroit can win, absolutely they can win. But this 49ers team, like, if you were going to beat them, it was supposed to be last week, and it didn't happen. Yeah. So I think the seven sounds about right in this, because I know most of us, including myself, early in the week, like, hey, you know what? I'll take the seven, six and a half with the Lions. Let me see where Debo factors in. Is he playing? Is he healthy? And the way we go this weekend.
Yeah, for me, I hope Debo plays so I can just focus on my Brandon Ayuk bets, honestly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's just say the Ayuk number's 80 with Debo in, but 69.5. Or, you know, right, vice versa, whatever. Like, if Debo playing drops the Ayuk number by 10, let Debo play. Ayuk is the number one wide receiver. I mean, Donnie, you know, obviously I went through this the other day when we were trying to line up the Mike Evans props in the game going up against Detroit. I mean, they are just hopeless against top lightouts. Hopeless. This is a big Brandon Ayuk game. Big time.
Is it? Yeah, because last week was it felt like it probably could have been last week, but you saw the rain coming. It's like, you know, he's more of a smooth wideout. You got perfect conditions here where that play action pass is going to be set up. You just need Debo out there almost even as hey, he's going to go in orbit motion. It's like, oh, watch him, watch him, watch him. And there you go, 1-on-1 coverage. Ayuk is one of the better pass route runners in the NFL. Should be interesting to watch. By the way, Adrian Griffin got canned for Milwaukee Bucks a few moments ago. Any thoughts on that? Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Is this his first year there? Yes, he's gone. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Was this his first year?
Yes, it is. His
year?
You got to be kidding me. Hold on a minute, man. Like,
you know,
fired in disgrace?
Yes, fired
in
disgrace.
Hold on a minute.
Like, you can't coach.
No, no, what I mean by that, like, no, I'm talking about, like, the Mel Tucker situation. I'm not trying to put anything. Donnie,
or like,
hold on. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
Giannis doesn't like him, apparently. Is that it? That's what I get. Donnie, let's just...
I'm just going to assume
that
you are not super familiar with the NBA standings.
Correct. Well, like, I do know they have a very good record, yes.
But that's... Like, Donnie, if you see that, what do you think they are in the NBA standings? They just fired their head coach.
I think they're in the top... Well, they're the top three in the East, which the East front runners are better than the West front runners for the most part, I think, record-wise, right?
Donnie, they have the second-best record in the entire NBA.
Yeah.
They have the second-best record in the entire NBA. And they are on a two-game winning streak. Now, this is the biggest indictment you will ever see of the Detroit Pistons, Donnie, is they won two games in a row against the Detroit Pistons and just fired their head coach. They were like, my gosh, those games were awful. I cannot even believe how close they were.
Joe Prunty, a name that we keep. But where was Joe Prunty before? Did he have a head coaching job somewhere? Like, why am I hearing this guy's name repeatedly all of a sudden? He was somewhere.
He was going to be
a head coach or was a head coach, but he's going to take over here as the interim coach as they canned him here. And it says it's tied for the third shortest head coaching tenure in NBA history. Is this just Giannis like going to, like, let me see if I can get Giannis's dialect down. Cannot work with Adrian Griffin. Cannot work with him. Like, you know what I mean? Is that it? Is that all we needed? Milwaukee Bucks will strongly consider Doc Rivers as their head coach. There's another one from Chris B. Haynes.
Which basically tells you that Doc is getting the job, by the way. You can't do this if he's not getting the... Donna, I'm pretty sure Giannis was the one who asked for Adrian Griffin to get hired.
But that's got to be the only reason, though. Unless there is something nefarious, which... That report would come out immediately from Wojnarowski, and 3 seconds later, there would be the quote tweet that says, details emerging. You see what I mean? Or letting it out of the bag. But now Shams also reporting that Doc is a serious candidate to be the head coach.
That I'm man. If you remember, I don't know, Don. Like a few games in,
Dame Lillard,
Terry Stotts, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, but remember, like, Terry Stotts left right away. But Don, like, it's not like who hates him. This is nuts. I apologize for being almost somewhat speechless. They have the second best record in basketball and just fired their head coach after two consecutive wins to give the job to Doc Rivers.
Yeah. Giannis must hate him, man. That's the only thing I can think of. Because otherwise, unless, again, something nefarious we don't know about, my goodness.
But Donnie, again, that's why I bring that up, and I don't want to speculate and put Adrian Griffin in that light at all. It's just, even if Giannis hates him, Donnie, right?
Yes.
To some degree, as an organization, be like, look, Giannis, you kind of made us hire him. You know, I understand you're a little frustrated, but... We kind of have the second best record in basketball. Are you sure we shouldn't wait until, like, you know, the deadline or something here? We just won two. Like, this is insanity.
But it's one of those things that, like, and again, I'm saying this outside of he didn't break any HR rules or legalities, right? There had to have been something in the room that's been festering. And not just you don't like the guy as a person, but sometimes it comes down to we're winning basketball games right now because we're just a really good team. This guy's got no answers. Like, I thought he'd be like 10 games in the season. Coach, this is what you're drawing up here? Or Damian Lillard's like, I don't understand. Like, I like the ball and the point here on the side, and you keep drawing plenty of plays up for starting on the baseline. Enough with this. I can't work with it. When superstars get involved in the NBA, they run the show. So I'm thinking it's either Lillard and or Giannis, or this guy flat out, they're like, you know what? If we run and win a championship, we just cut the bait now because we're never going to win with this guy.
But also, too, like, Don, we talk about, like, okay, so... You know how the idea is that LeBron makes every single decision for the Los Angeles Lakers? Like,
yes.
I don't know if I've ever seen LeBron do this. Have you ever seen it? They hired Adrian Griffin, mm-hmm. who Giannis asked for, 43 games in, fired him despite being 30-13.
Yes.
Like, and by the way, the like your kind of assumption of, well, this has to be Giannis, mm-hmm. is not misguided, considering the decision to hire him did seemingly come from Giannis. This is stunning, man. This is absolutely stunning.
How about that? 30-13 bucks, not happy with their...
By the way...
This is not of a healthy franchise. I like it. Like, if you're not happy...
Yeah, no.
Make the move, yeah. man. Make the move.
No, you know what this is a sign of? Sixers title futures, rocket ship. Celtics, rocket ship. Miami, rocket ship. Because you know why, Donnie? He can't coach in the playoffs, Doc Rivers.
It's true. But he'll let the superstars do whatever they want as long as it's not, yeah, as long as it's not James Harden.
I got to tell you, unless there is a world where potentially Giannis was not in on this Adrian Griffin hire, right? Like, wouldn't make a lot?
Because Giannis was starting to say stuff like, I'm not even going to sign this extension until I get, like, guarantees on, like, if I want, whatever I, like, when LeBron went back to Cleveland, was like, I'm not stupid. I'm going year to year. I'm going to tell every year at the end of it, hey, Dan Gilbert, you're going to pay so much money over the cap, we're going to laugh about it, but you're going to have to do it because I won't sign my extension until you do this. It had to be one of those things. Yeah. He had to, but again, sometimes you say, hey, you know what? I think this guy can coach. He's my guy. He comes in, he's like, look, he can't coach, and I want to win a championship. I hate to do this. You're still going to get paid, buddy, but we can't have you here. But then again, to go to Doc Rivers as the tactician, that's pretty funny.
It is also remarkable, though, how, like, the conversation around the Bucks, Donnie, to be fair, has not at any point resembled their record. Like, the conversation around the Bucks is, something's not right here. Their defense is bad. Their offense is great. I don't know. They recently smacked the Celtics. It's weird. I'm not saying that Adrian Griffin was doing some bang-up job, but they just fired this guy after consecutive victories.
Yeah.
No, you would have thought, Donnie, that they would have lost one of the games to Detroit for this to be how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because, again, the NBA reporters are very good at uncovering details here. They're just trying to, you know, Woj tweets right. out, quickly pursue a small pool of accomplished and available veteran head coaches with Doc Rivers at the top of the list, and away they go. Where they said, obviously, Prunty will take over as interim coach, and then they'll find one. But, again, this has to be something. I'm surprised that we haven't heard more about this. But I remember Giannis had those clips like, man, we're just doing nothing right as an organization. Like, even from, like we can't even clean our uniforms correctly or something to that comment. It had to do with that. Like, he obviously is rubbing his superstars the wrong way and or he's about to be arrested. But we'll leave it at that, I guess.
Like, and again, we're not trying to put that on him, but to be fair, like, the world where the follow-up tweet being, like, we arrested Adrian Griffin would have yes. been less surprising than correct. Doc Rivers is coming in to save the job.
Yes, like the quote tweet on, like, they just let go of Adrian Griffin and an FBI sweep just came across the offices of the Bucks, and then we have no further comment. It's a pending investigation. But we didn't get that. So I'm just led to believe that, like, there's no way that Adrian Griffin said, I was like, nah, I can't coach these guys anymore. You just got to let me out of my contract. Crazy town.
I mean, the best bit, though, is, like, people are tweeting out, like, the Bucks ATS numbers, like...
Yes.
I mean, were people in... Like, you know how Don...
The ownership group was betting?
Yes. Like, boosters in college football, yes. like, have issues?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. This is madness.
There you go. He just fired up GTD tonight. Who are you calling? Coach? You got to get the coach in tonight, sort of analyze the situation, see where the futures go from here at this point. But I like it. Like, that's if it's not legalities and they just felt like Adrian Griffin wasn't the right coach, I love this move, man. I like this should be a showcase for every other organization, specific like the guy in Detroit right now that gets his head beat in on a night-to-night basis. Like, you're out of here, man. We were wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah, we were wrong.
But no, but Donnie, right? Let's just say I get where you're coming from. Don't double down on a mistake, okay?
Yes.
Doc Rivers?
That's what I'm saying.
You're
That's
a Sixers
the best
fan.
Part about it. Yes.
Like, Doc Rivers is the guy that they went and just got. That's a nightmare.
But it just, it must be, like, the blessings have to be coming from the stars. Like, again, it's not like, hey, we fired this coach. And by the way, Giannis, we're going to give you Doc Rivers. Like, no, this had to be, like, a week in advance of reaching behind the scenes and talking with your players at that point here. Wild stuff, though. Doesn't matter what your record is. If you can't get along with your star players, you're out of here. That's what happened in Milwaukee. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. By the way, final segment of the day right here for Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Did you notice the Entertainment Tonight tweet that's been going around, Kevin? Travis Kelce planning something very special for Taylor Swift as a pair get ready to spend Valentine's Day together. It says, quote, Travis is focused on Valentine's Day and wants to do something fun and special for Taylor. What do you feel about that? Good, bad? Makes sense.
Happy for them. I think what's going to happen, though, is a lot of people are going to start to turn on Jason. Because people are like, oh, he's putting himself front and center, da-da-da-da-da. I wondered if we get Jason back. I'm thinking he might come back, Donnie. I'm not sure.
But I liked what, like, because I have a feeling, like, when you're brothers, right, and they're that close, and they're cut from a little bit different cloth. Like, they're out there, which I love. Like, if you want a quintessential, like, brothers growing up that just trashed your house and were probably hell on wheels to try to be a parent to, I feel like if Travis is like, you can't go out on me like this. Like, we both play football. Like, I'm going to do a podcast with you next year where you're going to be asking me, like, hey, what's going on in the locker room? Like, how can you do this? And the fact that we haven't had a decision that he has retired, which, quite frankly, I do think he should retire. Like, get out at the perfect time. You still have your health. You made a ton of money. You're going to go right in the media anywhere you want and print cash. But I just feel like Travis has his ear and is like, you know what? Well, you're not. There's no way you're retiring next year. You're going to play at least one more year. And he's like, you know what? That makes sense. Like, really, I feel like that.
But because here's why. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I think. What?
Oh, my goodness.
What? What? Oh, no.
We back?
Can you hear me?
Oh, that's good, man. It sounded like you were in the three rooms over, man. It was making me laugh. That was good.
I just looked at my phone, and it said connected to Kevin's MacBook. So, I mean, Lord knows. I mean, Lord knows. You can hear me, though, just to make the point. What if Travis says one more season? Who cares? I'm getting out of here.
Oh, man, that is the perfect way to end the show here, man. Yes! I love it. Putting in that work. It's all K-Dub. Probably figures he's off tomorrow. No big deal. You know, just cut the cord at this point.
It is what it is.
For Donnie Wrightside, for Kevin Walsh, behind the wheels of steel, JP. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.